So how's that time change working for you? It's been a few weeks since most of the United States and Canada switched from standard time to daylight saving time. That's a shift that sparks a debate every year about whether we, like some countries and some states, should just pick one time and stick with it. In March, the U.S. Senate agreed, approving the Sunshine Protection Act, and the goal of that is to make daylight saving time permanent in 2023. And of course, it still has to go to the House, and the president would have to put his stamp on it. But there's agreement that shifting to one time would increase productivity, prevent accidents, and even ward off some illness. There's just one thing, though. Some sleep experts say we're about to settle on the wrong time. Let's bring in Charles Seisler, chief of the Division of Sleep and Circadian Disorders at Brigham and Women's Hospital and professor at Harvard University. Dr. Seisler, welcome.
It's great to be here, Celeste. And this is a really important topic, and I'm glad you're covering it.
I am glad that we are, too. But at first glance, my first reaction was, why would it matter which one we pick to, right? Isn't it more important that we just choose one time and not have that shift back and forth?
It is important that we not shift back and forth because that acute shift, particularly in the spring, is associated with many adverse health consequences, including an increased risk of heart attacks and an increased risk of motor vehicle crashes and other bad things. The only thing is that lawmakers seem to have settled on the wrong choice of the two possibilities. And that choice would really send everyone in the United States year-round one time zone eastward. So those people in California, for example, would be living on mountain time. People in Denver would be living on central time, and people in Chicago would be living on eastern time. And those of us on the East Coast would be living on Atlantic time. The problem with that is that there's extensive research that being on the western edge of a time zone increases the risk of multiple different cancers. A time zone is 15 degrees wide, and for every 5 degrees that an individual lives westward within a time zone, increases risk of certain types of cancers in a startlingly high manner. For example, certain types of leukemias increase by 13% for every 5 degrees that you move westward. Liver cancer increases by about 11% for every 5 degrees. So that would be something like a 30% increased risk of liver cancer just by moving for that one time zone eastward for everyone. Breast cancer increases by about 5%. So that would be a 15% increase in breast cancer.
Can I stop you for just for 1 second? Because I totally respect it if you say there's no easy way for me to explain this, Celeste. Google it. But what is the connection between the time change and an increase in cancer risk?
It does seem peculiar, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But we have a circadian clock in the body, and that controls the timing of many different physiologic functions, including the timing of the release of the so-called sleep-promoting hormone melatonin. Melatonin, in addition to helping to facilitate sleep, is also a hormone that slows down the growth of cancer. And what we are essentially doing when we move ourselves one time zone eastward is that we're requiring all of us to wake up an hour earlier. The focus of all the discussion has been, oh, we're going to have more light in the evening. Nobody has talked about the fact that everybody's going to be getting up an hour earlier relative to sun time. You know, we may think that we're not affected by the solar environment in which we live, but the brightness of the sun outdoors is much more powerful than any of the indoor lights that we have. And it still elicits a strong effect on the body. You would think that that would generalize to people realizing that this is the more difficult time zone for us to live in, and that that would not be the one to choose.
Yeah.
But that generalization has not reached the Senate.
I was really interested to find that a lot of people think daylight savings time was something that farmers asked for. But in fact, farmers really advocated against it because of the natural circadian rhythms of their cattle, that it was going to mess with their livestock to make this change every year.
Yeah, farmers oppose it. So the urban myths are, you know, farmers want it, not true. Saves energy, not true. As far as we can tell, actually, a Tufts faculty member has written a book about this. This is being propelled by the golf industry. And so it's being foisted upon the entire nation for the golf industry to make more money on tee times.
So, okay, if we were to rank, we have three options when it comes to daylight savings time, right? We can keep it. We can get rid of it by moving to permanent daylight savings time, which is what the Senate voted to do. Or we can do what you suggest, which is make standard time permanent.
Yeah, and making standard time permanent is, for example, what Arizona does.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons Arizona doesn't switch is because when you go to daylight savings time, it actually uses more energy because of increased air conditioning use.
Yeah. So there have been a permanent switch to daylight savings time before in the U.S. during the energy crisis in the 70s. Do we know how that worked out?
Well, what we know is that at the end, after trying it for a couple of years, the consensus was to go back. And this also happened, I think, in World War II. People went back to having standard time.
Okay. So if switching back and forth between daylight savings and standard time has a negative impact on our health, which is what I think you're saying, and moving just to daylight savings times has a negative impact on our health, moving to standard time gets rid of those negative impacts?
Yes. And so the ideal situation would be to move to standard time on a permanent basis.
You've also noted that there's an increase in diabetes and sleep disorders, which makes sense, also mental health. So how fragile is our circadian rhythm and how easily repaired is it?
To the extent that people think about sleep, they're trying to get enough sleep. But it turns out that the consistency of when we sleep and wake is also important. So maintaining a consistent bedtime and a consistent wake time helps stabilize our internal circadian rhythms and keep them in sync with the 24-hour day. And that's one of the reasons why it's important to avoid the kinds of shifts that are associated with shifting our time zones. One of the other issues that I'm concerned about with this proposed switch to permanent daylight savings time would be the fact that we all would have to get up an hour earlier would make us lose many of the gains that have been achieved by moving school start times for high school students later. American Academy of Pediatrics has recommended that no high school start before 8:30 in the morning, and that's on standard time. So if suddenly we switch to daylight savings time in the winter, that's going to mean that an 8:30 start time on standard time is going to be a 7:30 a.m. start time on daylight savings time in terms of biological time. And so you're losing much of the gains from the later start times in schools. And that has already been shown to interfere with academic performance and increase motor vehicle crashes of high school students and so on.
I mean, it sounds to me like you're saying one of the most important things to keep in mind for healthy sleep is maintaining that consistent time that you go to bed. And so that with this shift of moving back and forth to daylight savings time and standard time, we're constantly messing that up by necessity, and we're still kind of screwing it up permanently if we stay permanently on daylight savings.
That's correct. Nobody's going to want to get up an hour earlier every day. And so Then on the weekends, they're going to be sleeping in even later, and that's going to increase social jet lag, as we call it, where on the weekends, sleep time is displaced from during the week. It's going to mean that people are more chronically sleep deprived during the week because it's going to be light later. That's going to propel their circadian systems to a later hour and make it more difficult for them to go to sleep at a time that is sufficient for them to get enough sleep before the alarm clock is going to go off in the morning.
Well, I hope some members of Congress are listening to you right now. Thanks so much. Charles Seisler is chief of the Division of Sleep and Circadian Disorders at Brigham and Women's Hospital, professor at Harvard University as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Celeste.